My name is John Erling, and today's date is July 27th, 2017. Patricia, would you state your full name, please?
My name is Patricia Dickerson Lemon.
Your date of birth?
I was born on the 19th of January, 1940.
Your present age today?
I am now 77.
We are recording this interview by phone. We are in the studios of KWGS, the NPR station on campus of the University of Tulsa. Where are you for this recording, Patricia?
I am in an elder apartment building in Herndon, Virginia, near where my daughter lives.
Where were you born?
I was born in Claremore at the Claremore General Hospital, which at that time was on Main Street on the second floor, run by a Dr. Malloy.
Your mother's name?
My mother was Carrie Barefoot Dickerson. She was born in 1917.
The name Barefoot, where does that come from?
If you look in the Heimskringla, which is the book of the histories of the rulers of Scandinavia, you find a Magnus Barefoot. He was called Barefoot because he was a Viking who conquered part of Northern Ireland. And when he was there, got accustomed and pleased with the idea of not wearing his leg warmers. He went with his legs bare. So when he went home again to Denmark or Sweden, I don't remember what he considered his original birthplace, he didn't wear the leg coverings. So the kids would run along beside him in the street and yell out, "Barefoot, Barefoot, Magnus Barefoot." And that's where the name came from. The Barefoot is actually her maiden name. Her given name, Carrie, is, I believe, for Carrie Nation, also for her mother, who was also named for Carrie Nation.
Tell us what your mother, Carrie, was like. What kind of a mother was she?
Mother was a very frustrated mother, I have to say. When I was 2 years old, she started teaching in a little place, a Mennonite town near Inola, called Pleasant View. She would have to spend a week at a time there and only be able to come home on the weekends. And even that was pretty hard. She loved the people in the community. She would be boarded in one of the homes because it was a one-room schoolhouse. She would have to start the fire in the stove in the morning to heat the place up and cook breakfast and lunch for the kids in the school. You know, some of her students would come and visit when I was a teenager. They all spoke wonderfully of her. When I was two in 1942, my sister Florence was born. And when Mother had to go back and teach school, she used to talk about taking Mother by the hand and saying, "Mommy, don't you love your little girl?" And it just broke Mother's heart, but she had to go back and work so that the bank would not foreclose on the farm and we would still have the farm. So she sacrificed a great deal for my family.
Your father's name?
My father was Charles Robert Dickerson. He was the son of Eugene Dickerson, who was born in Missouri, and Anna Victoria Haynes, who was a Cherokee from Seguia, which is near the Verdigris River outside of Claremore.
Describe his personality. What do you remember about your father?
Daddy, because he was brought up by two teachers, one of whom was a very strict Baptist, was brought up with great propriety, too much, I think. He was very shy as a boy, but as a father, he was wonderful.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had my sister Florence, who was 2 years younger. My brother Jimmy was 6 years younger. and another sister born in 1950.
Before we proceed with the story of Carrie, your education background.
Well, everybody in my family was a teacher of one sort or another. I started out at Justice School, which is a community that the farm is in. In the second grade, I went to a school in Pryor, the public school. I was never anywhere but a public school, and I went to Claremore High School, where I received an amazingly good general education, actually a classical education, aside from the fact that there was no Latin or Greek taught there, although in my father's time there was. But I wanted to learn Latin, so I took a correspondence course from a professor at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville.
So then you were on to college?
Yes, after that I was on to college. I was offered scholarships just about every place I applied, including a merit scholarship because my scores on the SAT were so high.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Radcliffe, which is now part of Harvard.
Did you go on for further degrees?
Well, I have a degree in counseling from the University of Massachusetts.
Just briefly, what did you ultimately do then as a career?
Well, when I was an undergraduate, I worked for a Nobel Prize winner, Georg von Beckesche, who got the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1961. He had had such a strange upbringing that he didn't know how to start sentences well in English. So I edited all of his writings, including the Nobel Prize acceptance speech. He was a wonderful man. I really enjoyed being his lab assistant.
Could you spell his name?
G-E-O-R-G, Georg, Von, V-O-N, Beckesche is capital B-E-K-E-S-Y with accents on the E's. It's a Hungarian, not actually noble, but upper-class name.
Mm-hmm. You were married. Who did you marry?
My husband, Edward William Yawton Lemon, was a fellow student when I arrived at Harvard. He was a fantastic musician and still is, although he has a problem with his fingers that means that he has to play by muscle memory rather than by telling his fingers what to do. His fingers have to tell him what to do. He is a wonderful musician and also played as a jazz pianist. That was probably the thing that first attracted me to him. But the second thing was that he is a fantastic linguist as well. He speaks a number of languages. He's a linguist and has been a teacher most of his life.
How old is he today?
He's the same age I am.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in June instead of January. That was the only difference.
But you were musical too, because Carrie bought a piano for you and you became a singer.
Well, actually, Carrie bought a piano because her father was a pianist. He used to play for church services in the little town where she grew up, New York. So when her stepfather threw out his piano because he couldn't stand the thought of his predecessor, she developed a desire to have a piano. So with her first paycheck from Pleasant View, she went to an estate auction and bought a piano and paid to have it brought out to the farm. She taught herself to play the piano. Because she had started so late, she never got really good at it, but she loved it. And, of course, all of us kids loved it, too.
But you went on to become a fairly accomplished soloist.
Well, yes, because I really was not much of a pianist until much later in my life. I used to sing both in the chorus and as a soloist. I have to tell you, I loved singing more than almost anything else, because it gave me a chance to express my emotions. You know, that was a time when we were all very shut in our own minds and spirits.
Mm-hmm.
things have changed a lot since then. But at that time, my only real emotional release was singing. So I sang as much as I could. I would walk out through the fields to bring in the cows or the sheep or to make sure the geese weren't being killed by some predator. And I would sing popular songs as I walked out there. But when I was in college, I was in the Radcliffe Choral Society, and I have done a great deal of singing in musicals. I once was the bumboat woman in Gilbert and Sullivan. At college, I was in the chorus in the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. I loved that so much. I never became a professional singer.
You had children?
I have two children. A son and a daughter. My son is named after his father, and my daughter, Signe, went to Wellesley.
And now you have grandchildren?
No grandchildren.
Okay.